Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Moncrief on News Talk.
A lot of people have a lot of views about the Taoiseach's planned trip to the White House for St. Patrick's Day, where he'll present Donald Trump with the traditional bowl of shamrock. But aside from all that controversy, there is the fact that he'll be travelling there in style. The new 53 million euro government jet has been delivered and will be ferrying Micheál Martin across the Atlantic. Kevin Byrne is a retired Air Corps Lieutenant Colonel and Airport Safety and Security Auditor. Afternoon, Kevin.
Hello, Sean.
This is, I assume this is new, brand new. It's not like
it is a second-hand one
or anything.
Oh, no. No, no. Even though we have a habit of buying second-hand stuff, this is new and replaces the last government jet, which was a small little thing called a Learjet. And that was in service for more than 20 years and really wasn't capable of long haul. It was a short haul little aircraft. Getting into it, people like me had to squeeze in. It wasn't as comfortable as the Gulfstream 4, which was the big white government jet that people remember when the president and other people went in and around and that kind of thing. We had that for 20 years as well. So we do get good value for money in terms of what we buy, I think. Buying new is probably the best thing to do in this case.
Okay. And so what class of an aircraft is this?
Well, it's a small executive type jet. People said, is it the biggest in the country? It's biggest in our country, yeah. But when you compare it to the European Union, it's the smallest aircraft in service. For example, the British use Airbus A320s, and they also use A330s, the big fat ones Aer Lingus used to cross the Atlantic in. And if you remember, a lovely man called President Zelensky, he arrived in an Airbus 319 from Ukraine recently, and that was a business executive jet of a commercial airline. So we're on the smallest scale in that regard, with 14 seats and 3 crew on board, the current Falcon 6.
Okay, but inside, would it be kind of very luxury and all that kind of thing?
I'm sorry to say, I didn't get in to see it when it was on show when we had a retired officer's day. I had to go to some other country. I've forgotten where it was. But anyway, no, it won't be luxurious. It would be of a business class type stuff, you know, but this is what you get when you get a new aircraft. You get a free colour scheme on the outside and you get a sort of different suite of fittings. They'll be probably false leather seats. They'll be comfortable enough, of course. There'll be a galley and a toilet in the back and that kind of thing. Fully equipped with avionics and communications. I know the tail has sat communications and sat nav and that kind of thing. So Taoiseach can talk to people in a hurry in secure surroundings if he has to make a decision from abroad and that kind of thing.
Okay, and this is a French-manufactured plane.
Yeah, Dassault are the name of the company who make it. And I think this was done after a very good research because they usually get together a board of people who look at aircraft in this case and see what do we do, and 4 or 5 different companies pitch for it. And they make a decision based on the economy, the environment, the noise, that kind of thing, and the efficiency and the backup in terms of spare parts and how easy it is to fly and where will it get into. I think this will land in pretty small airports if required, the Falcon 6.
Yeah. Do you know when they're buying a plane like this, do they send somebody over to France to give it a spin? You know,
Then
they land it and say, oh, it's making a funny noise or that kind of thing.
All the companies usually have a prototype. I've been on many prototypes myself, in fact, as baggage and what they call, you know, just weighing the aircraft down. They're testing aircraft out from that point of view. There's always a prototype and a demonstrator and somebody will fly one in to have a look to show how good it is. And if it's up to spec and if the price is right, they'll make a decision. But of course, in Ireland, we're only buying one. If you buy 3, you get them at a special price. You're buying one, you pay the full price, I suppose. But I think this is not so bad in terms of taxpayers' money because I'm a taxpayer like anybody else. If you think of people who use these type of jets, they are businesses. Like I met people from IBM, McDonald's and all the big companies like that and they use it for business purposes only. Our country is one of the biggest businesses of all in the world. So I don't see anything wrong with having our heads going out and about because time is money in that regard.
Yeah. What I mean, apart from ferrying the Taoiseach across the Atlantic, what kind of uses will this be put to?
It's very useful for taking people back in a hurry. I know we've had to get troops out of certain countries in a hurry, so to speak. And it was very poor, I thought, to have to go cap in hand to our friends in the European Union and say, any chance of a lift home, boys? That happened on three or four occasions that I can remember, you know. So we could send this thing out in a hurry, get people in and bring them back in safety and security. But more than that, the last aircraft, the Learjet, had a plug-in device called LifePort. And this is very useful for converting the aircraft into what was basically an air ambulance. And they brought people, both military and civilian, from far away back home without having to pay commercial aircraft to do it or to get somebody else to do it from another air force. And that would be very useful in time. Secondly, in that regard, it'll be very useful for doing a thing which is hard to talk about, Sean, and that's called organ harvesting, where people are, you know, collecting hearts and lungs and that kind of thing, or bringing patients to maybe the UK or France or wherever it might be who need transplants. We can do that by day and by night in a hurry, and that aircraft would be very useful from that point of view. So I look forward to seeing that being, you know, part and parcel of its military taskings in the future.
Okay, and were previous government jets used for that, to go and get organs and stuff?
They were, and they used sometimes the CAS, the maritime patrol aircraft, which really wasn't suitable for it, but it did it anyway. I've seen it at night. And they also have, of course, now PC-12s, which are smaller single-engine turboprop aircraft, and they would be more useful for the shorter-range missions, you know, particularly after dark and that kind of thing. They can land in almost any airport in the UK if we're going there. And I believe there's a relationship between the UK hospitals and Irish hospitals for the transfer of both patients and or organs where people are killed, you know, in accidents. And the organ harvesting must take place at a fairly short notice. So that's a very useful service for the public in general that they don't talk much about, to be honest.
From Geico Subconscious News, I'm Tammy Racing Thoughts. Tonight, you just left for work and had a non-specific feeling that something was happening to your place and it wasn't good. Dan?
Exactly, Tammy. It could be smoke damage, theft, or just too much caffeine, but you can't stop thinking about it.
But with renter's insurance through Geico, your stuff is covered, so you don't have to worry.
And that's great, because the weekend is coming up and it's chock full of social obligations that are ready to fill that void.
Oh boy, will they, Dan? It feels good to worry less. It feels good to Geico.
Yeah, I assume, though, this is, I mean, compared to the Learjet that they were using before, that this would be a step up from that.
It would, yeah. The range is a technical 10,000 kilometres, but you wouldn't put the full load of three crew members, which is probably a flight steward and two pilots and 14 passengers and their baggage. They wouldn't go that far. They'd certainly cross the Atlantic. So you'd probably have four or five passengers to get that range out of it. But it will give flexibility. If you have to go to a meeting in Brussels in a hurry, you could, you know, make a flight plan, plug this aircraft in and you're gone. You're not waiting on anybody else. If you want to bring the Taoiseach or somebody else home from a hurry from Rome or Spain or whatever it might be, if something happens in a hurry, can respond very quickly. What it does is give the aircraft, the Air Corps, I should say, back its reach, which it's lost for a couple of years now since the Learjet was sold off.
Yeah. And would there be a lot of pilots very keen to fly this in the Air Corps?
I'd say so, yeah. And in fact, the mission going ahead shortly is one of the first missions to give the aircraft its legs, as it were. There's a lot of flying simulators, first of all, and then you've got to fly the aircraft itself. You've got to get the pilots in the squadron up to speed. There'd probably be half a dozen pilots, in fact, probably more, probably eight, so that they're on a roster in that regard. Flying is a very perishable skill, Sean, as you might have known. If you don't do it and don't do it enough, you can actually be a danger to yourself and other people. So you have to keep the hours up, as it were. And you've got to do simulator flying, which is good, but there's nothing beating a real training flight from, you know, Dublin to Brussels or whatever it might be. So you can see other airports, Paris, Rome, that kind of thing. And then you'll do it. And then you'll bring the ministers to and from, and it'll become a routine, a bit like, I suppose, any other routine that takes place in commercial aviation.
Yeah. Now, on the outside livery, it's a kind of a dark blue, and there's a little a harp, and then, you know, the kind of Irish roundy thing identifying the colours of the flag. But it's very subtle. If you didn't look closely enough, you wouldn't realise what it was.
Yeah, I was a bit disappointed when I saw it, because the last couple of jets had beautiful white schemes and they had green, white and orange stripes down the side, and they had harps. The G4 had a huge harp on the tail because that was the state emblem as it registered, you see. And the roundels are the green, white and orange of the nation, which we've had on since, you know, Michael Collins' time, basically, or shortly thereafter. And the tricolour should be prominent. But I don't know if it has on the side of it. Didn't get a good look at it. Does it say Ireland era? Because that really is what people do on their aircraft.
Yeah.
They do it in the in the Britain, the Americans have a huge United States of America written on the top of Air Force One and all the aircraft in which the president flies. The French do the same thing. The British do it. You know, everybody has the pride. I'm not sure it's written on it. It should be, because it looks like an anonymous aircraft. It's painted a sort of a dark camouflage grey, which is true of the other aircraft, the maritime patrol aircraft and the PC-12s, which have got military missions. You know, I just thought this might look a bit more colourful, but it's maybe designed to blend in well, because as you say, if it didn't look at the roundels and the tricolour and the tail, it would be a commercial aircraft and it would be able to slip in and out unnoticed, particularly after dark.
Yeah, maybe that's the intention, or there's some sort of kind of, we're Ireland, we don't be getting up ourselves, you know.
I don't know. I can't answer that. Nobody consulted me on the colour scheme, so I can't talk on that. But I was very surprised to see a dark grey one, because even President Zelensky's one has Ukraine written on the top of it in Ukrainian and in English, so that we know where it's coming from. The Swedes do the same thing. Everybody does it, but we don't do it for some strange reason.
Yeah, that's very odd. Inside, what's the kind of seat? Now, it's 14 people, 14 passengers.
Yes.
Are they grouped in sets of four, or what's the configuration there?
Usually there's a seat. No, I haven't seen it, so I've missed my slot to see it, as it were, like that. There's usually 14 seats, usually the six front, and then there's four at the back or wherever it might be. There's usually a couch arrangement at the back for briefings. And I know on the Gulfstream 4, they could close the doors, so there was a segregated place at the back where, you know, important people could have conferences, as it were, where they would not be interfered with. So it'll be along some of those lines, but there's nothing strange about that. When you get an executive jet, you can decide the interior yourself. It doesn't cost much more extra money, and I'm pretty sure all the internal fittings are of an environmentally friendly nature. You don't get to kill cows to make the leather for the seats anymore. That's not considered very kosher, you know.
And what would the catering be like on board?
Catering I can only speak for my own time like that, and the catering was supposed to be at the business class level, and I know there was a contract with the officers' mess which supplied the food from the Dublin side if you were leaving from Baldonnell. You have to uplift food then if you're going to somewhere else like America or the Far East or the Middle East or wherever it might be, and you're doing the business class stuff there. But you want to have good quality food like that. And I suspect on certain flights you might get a glass of wine or two. Although, to be very frank, wine tastes different at altitude because of the taste buds we have in human beings. Did you know that, John?
I did know that. And apparently it has more force, alcohol, if you drink it.
That is true. That is true. I, unfortunately, in my civil aviation career, I've seen people who were worse of wear for a couple of pints on board, and they had to be subdued on board aircraft like that because the effects of alcohol, because the cabin atmosphere isn't at ground level, it's about 8,000 feet, you see, and it affects you in certain strange ways. And if you've had a few jars on board after having a few on the ground, you're going to behave yourself in a different way. That will not happen, I hasten to add, in the case of the Falcon 6X flying out of Baldonnell.
We're all looking forward to your memoir, though, Kevin. I haven't said that. And they wouldn't be selling duty free on board, you know. Micheál will have to get that himself.
No, not in the European Union. You might get it from the UK or the US of A, but is it worth it? You know, I don't think so.
Think not. Kevin, thanks a million as ever.
Thanks very much, John.
That was Kevin Bird there, retired Air Corps Lieutenant Colonel and currently an airport safety and security auditor.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.